Hello, and welcome to Living Fit with your hosts, James and Karen Roberts, personal trainers, life coaches, and motivational speakers. This program promotes good health through nutrition and physical activity. If you are interested in starting a personal fitness training program, please contact either Karen Roberts at 336-202-2313 or James Roberts at 336-707-7719. You can also contact them at Facebook at livingfit.com.co. Please consult your medical doctor before starting any exercise program or nutritional plan. And now, here's James and Karen.
Hi, thank you so much for joining me for this week's Fit Tip. Today I want to talk about what you need to know about low cholesterol. So in the past, I spoke about high and low cholesterol and how it can lead to heart disease and stroke. And the fact that it is treatable and avoidable without medication, in most cases, just by making healthy lifestyle choices. There are no symptoms of high cholesterol, and it is recommended that you go to your doctor and have a blood test taken to determine your cholesterol levels. So, did you know that studies show that there is a strong link between Alzheimer's and low cholesterol? Alzheimer's has been around for over 100 years, and this is nothing new, and was considered rare until about 30 years ago, when Americans joined in on the low-carb, low-fat era, coupled with taking statins, causing cholesterol levels to skyrocket up to the point we now have an epidemic and the seventh leading cause of death in the U.S., Alzheimer's. The brain is loaded with fat and cholesterol, having a far greater percentage than the rest of the body, especially the cholesterol. However, people with Alzheimer's have been found to have a significant fat and cholesterol deficiency in their brains, meaning the brain is not getting what it needs to survive. Alzheimer's is also called type 3 diabetes because poor dietary choices that spike glucose, causing damage to our brain. Unlike high cholesterol, doctors do recognize some symptoms associated with low cholesterol, such as being on statins or other blood pressure treatments, depression and anxiety, which includes signs like feelings of hopelessness, changes in mood or sleep, confusion or agitation, and difficulty making decisions. Although normal cholesterol levels can be as high as 300, doctors ideally diagnose levels between 70 and 100 as being normal. Your doctor may diagnose your cholesterol as low if the LDL cholesterol, which is the repairer and the rebuilder cholesterol, is less than 50 milligrams per deciliter or total of less than 120 milligrams per deciliter. The best way to keep cholesterol levels in balance is to maintain a healthy diet, stay active, and get regular checkups. So Proverbs 3 verses 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on to your own understanding. In all ways submit to him and he will make your path straight." So as Christians, we should be leaning and trusting on God, and he will never let us down. But don't for one minute think that he will do for you what you can do for yourself. Remember, we must be hearers and doers of the word, meaning it is up to you to do the work. You can't dress up a bad health with nice hair and nails and makeup and a fly suit, and you certainly cannot buy good health. However, you can buy the best doctors, but even they cannot help you if the damage that you did is beyond their scope of ability. So someone once said, "I'd rather push myself now while I'm in control rather than having someone else push me around when I have no control." So choose wisely. And that's my message for today. As always, I pray that this message has been a blessing to you. Pass it on to family and friends. And remember to tune in to Living Fit with James and Karen Roberts today and every Tuesday at 11 a.m. on WLJF FM 100.7 FM The Joy. And thank you. Be blessed and have a terrific Tuesday.
Thank you, Karen. And thank you for joining us again for Living Fit with James and Karen Roberts. Today I want to talk about transformation from an undisciplined life to a disciplined life. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9:27, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Are you disqualifying your testimony by the way you live your life? Are you living a disciplined life? Are you able to control your emotions, your diet, your exercise program, your taking care of your home? You know, people can tell a lot about us by what they see, not so much what they hear from us. So what is the attitude of discipline? Well, discipline is a commitment to the most important person in the world. And most of us say that to us is supposed to be Jesus. Next, it should be ourselves. Then it should be our families, our friends, our church family. It means doing what you have to do, even when you don't want to do it. Discipline is an attitude are 100% within our control. A lot of people don't look at failure as a way to success in discipline. But Paul says that his why is he's able to stay motivated. He practices self-control in much the same way as an athlete. No athlete trains without some failure. They continue to work on the disciplines. They take their body to strict self-control. They eat right. They exercise. They get their sleep. And they perform other behaviors that would exemplify the behaviors when they're representing their teams. We need to be thankful for the fact that we even have health at all, because most of us do a lot of damage in the course of a day to our bodies, to our health, physically and mentally. There's six ways I would say that we need to build gratitude for our health. The first is, why don't you just write down every day how God has blessed you and keep a gratitude journal? Why don't you get outside and just look at what God has done? Even after we have damaged the world, how beautiful God has created this world. Why don't you share with your friends the gratitude you have for them and how much they have blessed you and how much God has done for you, and give your testimony? How about to appreciate the good moments as well as the bad moments? Because I'm sure most of us have better days than we do worse days. We need to change our perspective of and exemplify how God has already done things in our lives that blesses us every day. And most importantly, we got to take care of these bodies. The only way you'll get through this life is in the body God gave you. You know, a lot of people do a lot of stuff to make their bodies look better, shooting in stuff to make their face puff up, you know, and taking steroids or stuff like that, things that's going to actually eventually damage our body. You know, a lot of those things are not healthy. But most importantly, just be thankful for your health every day. Remember that failure reminds us to give ourselves some grace and not be alone. You will be less likely to be prone to perfection and be less inclined to chronic self-doubt. Failure will help build your self-confidence. Finding gratitude from failure is a beautiful thing. Failure can make us stronger. Every loss, every failure, every challenge only make your foundation stronger. The stronger your foundation, the more there is to build off of. When we see our failures, we know when we get it right. The more there is to build from, the better and stronger our character will be. The stronger your character, the more success we'll have. Character is formed when everybody's doing wrong, we still do right. Exodus 23:25 says in the Amplified Bible, "You shall serve only the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and water. I will also remove sickness from among you." When we do the right things, God will promise, he has promised to do what we can't do. Knowing our why, then now we know how we're going to draw our how. There was a German philosopher named Friedrich Nietzsche who once said, "He who has a why can endure anyhow." Knowing your why is an important first step in figuring out how to achieve the goals that excite you and create a life you enjoy living for a long time. What's your philosophy? If you could write it in simple words, what would you say? Well, quite literally, the term philosophy means, excuse me, love of wisdom. In a broader sense, philosophy is an activity people undertake when they seek to understand fundamental truths about themselves, the world in which they live, and their relationship to the world and each other. For the Christian person, this should be obvious because we know the Bible tells us that my body belongs to God. In fact, God owns my body twice. Once because he created it, and again because he redeemed it. In Psalms 139:14, it says, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." The human body has tremendous self-healing capacity and regeneration after injuries and pathogen invasion. These factors are particularly important as you get older, who taking longer to heal and recover physically is important, is the reason why you should never stop taking care of your body. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, "For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." Bought at a price alludes to the redemption and in salvation from our sins. Since God paid such a high price for us, everything we do should be to glorify God. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We need to be good examples of what God can do. The Bible tells us that Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to lead and comfort us till he comes back. But most of us don't do that, do we? We need to be good examples. We don't have to go to the gym, but we do need to do things that will beautify our homes, you know, keep them clean. Like something like raking and bagging your yard will burn upwards of 450 calories. That's going to work your legs, that's going to work your shoulders, that's going to work your core. If you're a 150-pound man and you go out and mow your yard, the movement you make in weed eating and pruning and digging all the works of the upper body and lower body, get out gardening in your yard. These work muscle groups such as your arms, your legs, your shoulder, your back, and even your abdomen. The activity also improves our mobility and helps with our building our endurance. It's just like working out with walking or Pilates. All the necessary digging, planting, mowing, raking, and weeding torches so many calories. Any movement, such as playing tennis, something you like to do, enjoyable, walking your dog or chasing your dog around, you're playing frisbee with him, makes up for the rest of those calories that need to be burned throughout the day. This can be changed a lot both by doing more exercise and just moving more during the day. You know, there's exercises that they call NEAT. NEAT is an acronym for non-exercise activity thermogenics. But if you have to, and you don't have a job or you have a way to be active, you can go for a run, which will burn a lot of calories, ride a stationary bike, go jogging and swimming for excellent options, something that you like to do. You need to get serious, all of us, about our health, not about weight loss. If you do what is necessary for your health, you will eventually get to where your weight is where it needs to be. The mind and body interact and influence one another in complex ways. And physical illness can make managing your mental well-being more difficult. So stress, lack of energy, poor sleep, and other problems can also affect mental health. So we need to get smart. We need to have smart goals for our health. So if you have a pen and pencil, paper, write this down as it relates to our health behaviors. Write down this word, SMART. And we'll use S to talk about the specifics. Write down what you really want to get out of being physically fit and how it relates to your relationship with God. Write down M, measure how important your health is, and pick things that you can measure how you're going to accomplish it. Write down A, which would be achievable. Do things that you know in the short term that you can do, and then look right for your vision for the long term that will be achievable. And then give yourself a time-bound limitation to reach that level and go to the next level. You see, getting at least 150 minutes of a week of moderate physical activity can put you at lower risk of diseases. You can reduce your risk even further with more physical activity. Don't be a person who tries to figure out how little they can do, because regular physical activity can also lower your blood pressure, improve your cholesterol levels. Exercise helps reduce your anxiety and depression. When you exercise, it increases your endorphins, dopamine, adrenaline, and these are all brain chemicals associated with feeling happy, confident, capable, less anxious and stressed, and even less physical pain. Participating in workouts, even while you're on vacation, you will strengthen the belief that you exercise regularly because it's who you have become. It's hard to take care of myself, a lot of people say. Many people want to practice self-care, but can't seem to accomplish that goal. There's a common belief that makes self-care difficult. It includes that self-care is selfish and that strong people need to make sacrifices. Well, improved self-care begins with choosing how we respond to difficulty. So that's not selfish. This is a discipline. You don't ever want to go out and do things when you're not fully ready to do them, because you're going to hurt yourself. Do not stretch cold muscles. Before stretching, make sure you warm up with light walking, jogging, biking, or low-intensity exercise 5 or 10 minutes. Daily breathing is important too. Take deep breaths when you feel like you're stressed out. It can lower your resting blood pressure and reduce your anxiety and stress. When you start to exercise, don't be a jerky exerciser. Don't bounce, which can cause injury. You'll feel tension during the stretch, but you should not feel these pains. If you do, there may be an injury or damage to the tissues. So stop stretching that muscle and talk to your doctors. If we don't use our bodies, they will get rusty and stiff. A lot of people associate this with age, but the real problem is we don't do what we should do on a continual basis. As you age, your body's natural ability to recover, rebuild, and repair from stress decreases. If you don't continually challenge yourself, you will start to lose your physical fitness level. It's very important for us to move. The benefits of movements let me give you a few. It releases endorphins and helps relieve stress. It allows us to take a break from everyday challenges and responsibilities. It will help us with our emotions, move through our bodies throughout the day. Let me talk to you about three things that a lot of people interrelate. They talk about them in the same way, and that's time, health, and money. All three are very important. Each one has logical reasons why it may be more critical than the other. But here's the reality. Without time, health and money don't matter. If you don't put time in on your health, if you don't take care and manage your time, you cannot get time back. Time is the one thing all of us are losing every day, from the time we're born to the time we die. Time is the most critical, yet it is too often taken for granted. We need to take time for relaxation, for it will allow your mind and your body to repair itself. You'll make better decisions. I'll also say that it lowers the risk of depression, anxiety, hypertension, heart attacks, keep away excess pounds, and boost our immunity. If you do not make time for your wellness, you will be forced to make time for your illness. That's a strong quote. Joshua 1:9 says, Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is with us in this. It can improve our memory, reduce our anxiety and depression. Regular physical activity can also reduce your risk of cognitive decline, including dementia. One study found that cognitive decline is almost twice as more common in people who are inactive and compared to those who on a daily basis do something every day to be active. So how does exercise help my mental health? Exercise causes your brain to release those feel-good chemicals like the endorphins and the serotonin that help improve your mood. It also improves your fitness, which can help lift your mood. Doing physical activity can also distract your negative thoughts from happening. While you can use weights and machines, those items aren't a requirement. You can work out using only your body. Even when dumbbells and equipment aren't around, you can get in shape and improve your health. So let me summarize why we need to exercise. And let me say this. Try to exercise outdoors. Outdoor in a natural environment will provide you with some of the best all-around health benefits by increasing physical activity levels with lower levels of perceived exertion, altering physical functioning, and including stress reduction, restoring mental fatigue, and improving our mood and self-esteem. Research shows that moving your workouts outside can be a simple way to magnify the benefits, not only for thinking, but also for health and happiness. Being outside is one of the best ways to improve your immune system. A running session of walking and getting out in the sun provides with a dose of vitamin D, which contributes to the normal function of our immune system. It's going to enhance our social well-being. There's more people. If you can get somebody to walk with you, it'll be better because you forget about the fact that you're even exercising and the benefits that you are gaining, and you'll see the benefits much quicker. So taking exercise groups outside can further enhance the mental and physical benefits of activity. In summary, let me say this. Not getting enough physical activity can lead to devastating effects like heart disease. Even for people who have no risk of these factors, it can also increase the likelihood of developing other heart diseases and type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, all the problems that we don't want to have. Being sedentary, which usually means sitting or lying down while awake, has been linked to a shorter lifespan and a wide range of medical problems. Studies have shown that anytime you get up and move, you're improving your chances of good health. Taking time to exercise, eat healthy, and relax can help you feel more energized and focused, leading to improved performance at work. Life is short. At the end of the day, life is short. No job is worth sacrificing your health for. By prioritizing your health, your family, you can live longer, happier, and more fulfilling lives. Find small groups to train with. We have a great variety of in-studio and virtual workouts that we can do with you if you so choose to call Karen and I. But you can also go online, and if you're not a person that can do it on your own, then sure, you might need a coach. But don't be afraid to have some fun while you exercise. I don't want to assign you something that you won't do. So what I'll do is I'll give you a few points in the right direction. This is an acronym that we use, and you can put in the ones that you want. If you want to be healthy and fit, you can take, like, write down the word fitness along the long side of your paper. And along the word F, the letter F, write down form, flexibility, failure, free weights. There's going to be times that you don't do the form right. So you need to work on that. Work on doing things the right way. You need to work on the flexibility. You need to work on getting past the failure. And you need to work with some resistance. It would be for inspiration, isotonic, and prevention of injury. T would be for training, reaching your target, tone, transformation, working on a treadmill, working on triceps. N would be for, especially for, make sure your nutrition, you're getting the needs your body needs, natural, normal, and don't neglect your health. E would be for getting the exercise, eating right, the endorphins, endurance, electrolytes. S, do a sport, sit-ups, sets, get out of that seat. And the last S would be for your strategy. Strengthen, stamina, support, serenity, stretch. Find a spotter. Get your shape, get your size, get your spirit strong. Karen and I appreciate you listening each week. I hope that I didn't rush through this and give you too much information at one time, but we want to see you healthy, and we want you to keep living fit and being in good health, because that's what it's going to take, you doing it. We'll see you next week. Have a blessed week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Living Fit. Please consult a physician or a fitness professional before beginning any activity if you are under their care. If you would like to contact James or Karen, you can do so through the website, Facebook at livingfit.com.co, or call. Until next time, keep living fit and do what matters. Thank you.